You may be seated. It's always a mighty thing when you can expect something from God. Let me help you. Let me help you. And I know some of us have been in church for a long time, and we've been coming to service, and we've been doing this for a long time. But let me help you. When you come with expectation, you can better believe you're going to receive something. See, God is looking. God is looking for our expectation. He's not looking for no special people, because he's using me. He's using us. So I know he ain't looking for no special people. Amen. Anybody in the house? Amen. The fact that he saved somebody like me means he ain't looking for somebody special. He just needs somebody that's ready. Expectation. God is just looking for our expectation. He doesn't look for a lot of hoops for you to jump through. He's not looking for you to do a lot of different things. He even tells you that it's not of your works. Over and over in the Bible, it talks about what you're insufficient in, what you can't do, what you're not good enough to do in yourself. Over and over again. But our expectation is a thing that brings exaltation in our lives. Amen. I've been talking about expect the fresh. Everybody say expect the fresh. And I've been talking about this for the past week or so or whatever. But God will just keep pouring things out to me and keep sharing things with me. And he keeps showing me how serious and how major our expectation is. Never approach God, or never approach a moment in the presence of God, or never approach a moment in church service or in a meeting. Never approach it without your expectation being open. Now understand that you got up this morning, you got dressed. Ladies, you put your makeup on. Somebody, you took a shower, praise the Lord. And you got ready and got dressed and got yourself together to come to church. Now I'm excited to see y'all. Y'all hope y'all excited to see me. But I'm more excited to receive whatever it is that God has for me. But that's all dependent on my expectation. We're going to read a scripture in a minute. I said it before. But he said, what measure you meet is measured unto you. Closed mouths don't get fed. There is no way that I can feed you with your mouth. I can't give you something with your hands closed. No matter how bad I want to give it to you, if you don't come with your hands open, it's going to drop to the floor. We live in this life. We live in this world. And we do a lot of things. We live under the illusion that we're in control. It's an illusion. No matter how much control you think you have, it's an illusion. You are not in control. Look at your neighbor. Say, you are not in control. Come on, look at your other one. Tell them, you are not in control. You know, we do a lot of different things. I wrote this statement down, and it's a major thing that it says, we have been conditioned in life to have control when the reality is we have no control. We're conditioned. So we do a lot of different things to make it, we do things to appease ourselves or to make it seem like we have some kind of say-so with what's going on. So we, you know, we get jobs and we want promotions and we want increase in our checks and we open businesses and try to get more money. And then we get married and we have kids and we do a lot of different things. And praise God for all that, but we do a lot of different things to try to seem like we got something going on. Amen. I know it's tough to swallow because I know you've been working hard. But we do a lot of things to make it seem like we just got it going on. You hadn't seen an inch of what God really wants to do for you. You haven't even scratched the surface of everything that God has prepared for you in your life and your family. But we give the loose. So we've been conditioned that way. Go to school. Right? No diss on school, but go to school. Get you a good job and make sure you be stable and, you know, you need to do this and do that. And we got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But somehow, sometimes we do all those things and still never get ahead. We do the 5-step program and still be in the ditch. We get promotion after promotion and still ain't got enough money. What's the problem? We do relationships and we do all these different things, but it seems like that stuff that God is saying in the Bible that's supposed to be happening in our lives don't seem to be showing up. What's the problem? It's an illusion that you're in control. You are not, I'm going to say it again, I keep saying this so you can understand, and it's all with expected fresh. You are not in control. We call our God a sovereign God. You know, and it sounds deep when you say it, but when he say he's sovereign, that means he's always in control. Everything that goes on, he's in control. Even in those moments that don't look so good, God is in control. Say it. God is in control. Say it again. God is in control. Say it again. God is in control. He's in control. You're not. And so we struggle and we toil and we do all these different things. The Bible talks about watering with our foot and doing a lot of work but never getting anywhere. The Bible talks about those that fight like those beating the air, doing a lot of swinging but ain't connecting to nothing. You're not in control. And so in that moment, when I realized, I think one of the things we have to do is a lot of times realize what's going on. When I realize that I'm not in control, then it changes my format a little bit. It changes my function. It changes my perception. It changes how I approach God and how I approach life. Amen. All right? It changes the way that I do things. The Bible talks about consider your ways. Though you make wages, but you put it in bags with holes in it. You keep putting clothes on, but you're still freezing. You're cold. You keep eating, but you're never full. You ever felt like that before? Come on, let the church say amen. You feel like you're doing and doing. I'm doing all the right stuff. I'm doing all the right things. I'm coming to church. I'm paying my tithes. Right? I'm on time. I be coming to prayer sometimes. I'm doing all the right things. Why is it not happening? I want to do something with your perspective towards God this morning. I want to help you to, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I read it in Corinthians a few days ago, maybe last week, and it said the simplicity of Christ. It's all talking about the simplicity. Now, if you really go through the rhetoric and the religion and the seminars and all the messages and the schooling and everything, it doesn't seem like it's simple, but it's very simple to live this life the way God wanted you to live it. It's very simple and it's very clear, but it takes something from you. It takes surrender and submission. It takes for you to give it up. You've been trying to win all that time and you ain't winning, so you need to give it up. Give it to the one that knows how to win. See, when you're expecting something, it's a connotation of yielding and submission and being open to receive. Being open to receive. Again, I said this statement last night, and I'll say it, and then we'll turn to one of your favorite scriptures in a moment. Matthew chapter 16, and I'll make this statement. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We'll start off in verse 20-24. But let me make the statement before I read it. And I'm walking in my room last night and see, you have to always be expecting to receive something from God. And that's when he'll drop something off to you. He'll tell you something that you ain't never heard before and drop it off in the moment you least. It's just boom. As long as you stay open. Everybody say open. Open. Come on, say it again. Say open. Open. As long as I stay open for God to speak. He said this statement. He said, the measure of a man's life is not in what he can gain, but in what he can receive. Come on, I'll say it again. It don't sound that deep right now, but I'm going to let it hit your brain real quick. The measure of a man's life is not in what he can gain, but rather in what he can receive. Now, we've been taught to gain, 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 gain. We've been taught to gain, gain, gain. Do to gain, do to gain. Now, even sitting here looking at me right now, you think you're not doing the gain, but you do the gain. The things that you're doing tomorrow morning when you get up and get dressed, you're doing something to gain. But your measure is not in what you can gain, but in what you can receive. You want me to show you a real man? It's not about how much money you've gained, but how much can you receive from God? It's not about the prestige that you can gain. See, gain gives a connotation of your power. Gain gives a connotation that you did it. Reception always depends on a higher power. Reception always depends, reception, receiving. It always depends on another. Now, we don't like that because we like control. Everybody say control. So we don't like to put ourselves in a position where I got to receive because I want to be in control. But remember, you are not. Whether you want to be in control or not, you ain't. Let me get through your head. Whether you want to be or not, you are not in control. I don't care how much you've done, you're not in control. Anybody ever had anything come up in their lives that was unexpected, that kind of shook them a little bit? Yeah, it shows you you're not in control. Because if you was in control, everything would be peachy, just walking and floating. No problem, no bumps in the road. But every now and then we hit a bump, don't we? Because you're not in control. Trying to let you know that your trust should be in something else other than yourself. It's not in the measure of a man's life. The measure of your life is not in what you can gain, but rather in what you can receive. What is your capacity to receive? How is your expectation? It's one of our favorites, and you know we read this to tell people they're gonna go to hell if they get some stuff. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and verse 23. Right before that, Jesus just rebuked Peter and called him Satan. Verse 24 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life, don't make no sense. I can hear somebody in the congregation when Jesus is preaching, that don't make no sense, Lord. What you mean, whoever save his life gonna lose it? You just said save his life. Mm-hmm. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake verse 26, for what profit a man, it's y'all favorite one right here, right? Amen. I'm gonna let y'all read it. Go ahead. Ready, read. What profit a man? What does a man profit? That he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul. Gain the whole world and lose his soul. Gain the whole world and lose his soul. Now, we reserve that scripture for who we call greedy people. Amen. Let the church say amen. But sometimes that's for us. I know it's going to hit hard home. My shandada, ba shandada. It's going to hit you right in your seat tonight. I mean, this morning. Sometimes that's for us. That we're trying to profit from gaining the whole world by doing everything else but expecting to receive something from God. By putting ourselves in an expectation and an expecting position to where God can drop off what he really wants to give to us. We're working hard. We're doing a lot of different things. We're running a lot of circles and jumping through a lot of hoops and not making a lot of progress. I know you feel me. You're doing a lot of stuff, but ain't a lot of stuff showing up. What profit is this man? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of the Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. So I thought his works, I thought it told me it wasn't works. No, his works, it's talking about he that loses his life. Go back to verse 20, 24, 25. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Shall is one of the strongest words in the English dialect. That means it's going to happen. Listen, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. We don't need no counseling session, no talking about it. If you try to save your own life, you're going to lose it. If you keep trying to do things on your own will to try to make something happen in your life, it's guaranteed that you'll lose it. Listen to me well. And so now my expectation has to be open. My yielding, my submission has to be there to expect God to drop something off to me that I can make my life further along than what it is on my own work. See, God has a plan that's much bigger than the plan that you planned for yourself. God has a plan that's much deeper than you can go on your own. The only way, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, to them give the power to become the sons of God. But you have to be led there. There's a leading and a taking that has to go on that has nothing to do with you. All your job to do is expect and follow. But we get caught up, and I love principles more than you all, and I love the step by step and the different things. I get it, I understand, but all those things are positioning me to be able to be led by the Spirit of God. All those things are conditioning me, reconditioning my mind, reconditioning my soul, reconditioning my understanding to really get into God's original plan. God's original plan was built through Jesus. So expectation. So I expect to receive something of God. I don't expect to go out and do it. No, I expect God to drop something off to me. I expect him to deliver me some instructions. And I expect him to take me somewhere that I could not go on my own. Everybody say expectation.
Expectation.
Come on, say it again. Expectation.
Expectation.
Come on, say it again. Expectation.
Expectation.
What are you expecting from God? How has your expectation been this week? If you go through the regular rhetoric and you start praying in tongues, but you didn't expect to receive anything, then that's why you didn't receive anything. Let me tell you something about God. Can I tell you something about God? He's always trying to drop something off to you. God is always trying to drop something off to you. He's always trying to give you. You know, sometimes we pray and he said, well, he ain't gave me no answer. No, he gave you an answer. You just wasn't ready to receive it. No, no. Well, how, God talking to you. He's always talking to you. He's always trying to say something to you. But maybe, just maybe, you listening to me? Maybe, just maybe, I'm not conditioned to receive. Maybe, just maybe, I don't have any expectation. And so no matter how hot, how fresh the word is that comes out, if my expectation is not open, then I cannot receive. That man in the book of Acts, if he would not have been looking on them, expecting to receive something from them, he would have never got up and he'll still be a lame man. Expecting to receive. Expecting to receive. Say it. Expecting to receive. So I give up my life. I lose my life. I throw my little rules and my five-year plan. Some of us deep, we got a 10-year plan. I take that and I throw that out the window. I'm not saying, I'm not saying be reckless. Keep your job, please. Don't quit tomorrow. It's not what I'm saying. But your maneuvering and your functioning and your flow has to change because more will happen when you receive more from God. Expectation. Everybody say expectation. Come on, say it again. Expectation. And so now if I lose my life, I'll find it. If I get to the point to where I give it up and I stop trying to do it on my own, then I'll find it. It doesn't make sense, but it ain't got to make sense. When did God tell you in the Bible to make sense of everything that he said? Give me a scripture. Make sense of what I said. The only thing I'll be hearing is the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. It's a mystery. I keep hearing, you ain't gonna understand it. I keep hearing, you need a revelation. I keep hearing, you need interpretation. That's all I hear throughout the Bible. That gives me a connotation that I don't have it right now, but all I gotta do is put myself in position to receive it. That's why they call them mysteries. Several times in the Bible, and we got the one, go to Mark chapter 4. And we have the one that, this is the one that we like to preach from. But I kind of look it up on my phone, look it up on my phone Bible. And, you know, Three or four times in Matthew, Jesus made this statement when he preached. He finished talking and he'd tell them a parable. And you know, he'd get deep and tell them a parable and preach something to them. And then he'll make the statement, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. He'll say, and I thought, see, right here we're in Mark 4, and we'll read this one, because I'm talking about the measuring meat, and this is the one we preach from. But Jesus said that on a regular basis. He didn't say it that one time. Jesus always said, he'll give a revelation, say something and say, whoever has ears, let him hear. Whoever, in other words, whoever got the ears, let him hear. Well, that don't make no sense. Look at your neighbor. You see the ears? Look at your neighbor. You see ears? It doesn't make sense. A room full of people. What you mean? Everybody got ears. What do you mean, who has ears? You know who got ears. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about these right now. See, there's something special about hearing, right? Nothing goes out your ear.
Come on, Doc. Break it down.
Huh? No, it don't. Nothing is, the only thing come out your ear is wax. Nothing come, it is not even, listen to me. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Your ear is not even, it's built, the way your ear is structured to receive. Faith don't come by speaking, faith comes by, all right, listen to me. You're structured to receive. The old statement say, you need to, they give you two ears and one mouth so you hear twice as much as you talk, right? Y'all know the old statement, right? It's a true thing. You're built to receive. God built, listen, don't nothing come out your eyes. You never thought about that, huh? Think about it. Don't nothing come out your eyes. It's all reception. It's all receiving. Everybody say receiving. Come on, it's all receiving. So now my ears are built to receive. I'm built. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's built to receive. The ear, the actual ear, when we talk about the ear, it gives a connotation of receiving something. So now Jesus is saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What he's really saying is, he who can receive, let him receive. He who is expecting something and expecting to receive something from what I'm saying, let them receive it. So now then he goes on. Go ahead. Mark chapter 4. Pull the scripture up. I think it's verse 23. Mark chapter 4. Verse 23. And he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said, take heed what ye hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Verse 25, for he that had to him shall be given. And he that had not from him shall be taken away. Even that which had. That sounds like he who tried to save his life is going to lose it. Sounds like he's saying the same thing right there. So now he says, put it back on the screen. For he who has. To him shall be given, and he that had not shall be taken away, even that which he had. So if you got it, you get it. So now this telling me something, because we all let me go home with you, real quick, and then go to your house. We all want to be a success. I can't hear your amens. Amen. We all are doing all the stuff that we do all day, every day. Right. Them hours that we spending at that job, sometimes that you don't like. Right. All we all trying to push to be a success. Right. Yeah, don't lie to me in the house of God. Right. We are doing what we're doing. Right. Tomorrow morning, right. You're going to wake up trying to do something to be successful. Right. But God has already provided for all that. Because it says to him that hath, to him should more be given. You want more or what you got? You want more or what you got? Do you really want more or what do you have? Do you have ears to hear? What is the conditioning of your ears? What's the conditioning of your reception? See, I learned something. Listen to me well. I've seen people sit up in this church. I know the power will be flowing up in here. Yeah. Listen to me. I know when my apostle get up and he starts saying those words, that there's fire and there's power and there's anointing and there's a pressure of the Spirit behind those words that'll shake you loose. It'll shake you loose and rock your world. But I see people come in here and sit down and leave the same way they came. I see people be here for a long time and never make any progress. I see the power of God come and be flying all through the room. You almost can see the smoke. But then you leave the same way. What's the problem? Maybe I don't have ears to hear. You know, you can be in here and you can sit through this whole message. Come on, listen to me. And it don't feel like nothing. You can sit through this whole message and not be conditioned and you'll miss the whole message. You'll miss everything that's being said because your ear has not been conditioned to hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But the prerequisite of hearing is I got to have the ears to hear. Not just ears, but ears to hear. Are y'all with me? So now, Jesus says this over and over again. He says it over and over again. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who is conditioned to receive what I'm saying will receive it. He who has the expectation and the spiritual fortitude to receive what I said will receive what I said. They'll receive it in manifestation. If you have ears to hear. It's all about your expectation. It's all about setting yourself up to expect something from God. Everything from God is fresh. There's nothing that God gives out that's stale or old news. Everything is fresh, but are you expecting that? Do you have ears to hear? Now I can give you the quick way and then tell you, well, you need to pray in the Spirit and you need to read the Word. But it's a focused approach to God. Listen to me well. It's a focused approach to God. Go over here for a minute. Let me find the scripture in my notes. Let's see. Go over to Matthew chapter 9. I think that's the one I want. Is that the one I want? No, I'm Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. We'll start there. And Jesus goes to the city and he's ministering. I'll start off verse 21 just to do for reading's sake. When Jesus passed over again by the ship unto the other side, when people gathered unto him, he was nigh unto the sea. Verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and that she shall live. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him. You see that? Much people followed him and did what? Thronged him. So now let me set you up in the story. So now Jesus headed to go to Jairus' house to go and heal his daughter. But now the people are there. There's a bunch of people there already. So now they're pushing upon Jesus. And they're thronging. When they say somebody's thronging, catch the imagery. When somebody's getting thronged, they're pushing upon them. It's almost like a mob, like the crowd. And they're all trying to push to get to Jesus. You ever seen like a celebrity walk through a crowd and all the paparazzi and all the people trying to take pictures and get to him, right? It's almost like the people are just thronging him. They're all over. They're pushing up against him. They're rubbing against him. Some of them are even coming in contact with Jesus, and they're just thronging him. Verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Verse 28, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. Verse 29, straightway the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from the plague. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in his press and said, who touched my clothes? Everybody say, who touched my clothes? Come on, say it again. Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging you, and thou sayest, who touched me? He looked around about to see her had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Y'all like that story, and it's one of y'all favorites, right? Praise the Lord, she got healed, amen. But now that the people, verse 24, the people were thronging him all over. I'm prone to believe that they were coming in contact with Jesus. I believe that in the midst of a come here, Troy, come here, bro, Ron, come here, come here, y'all three, come here. In the midst of what y'all just kind of pushing, trying to walk up on me. Just push. Well, in the midst of this, I'm trying to get over. In the midst of this, all right, time out. In the midst of that, I can imagine them coming in contact, kind of brushing up against Jesus. Whole bunch of people. And I know they were pushing because they wanted something. Everybody wants something. I can't hear you. Everybody wants something. You came here this morning and wanted something. Everybody wants something. I don't need your line. Everybody wants something. And ain't nothing wrong with that. All right, but not everybody gets something. So now they're pushing, they're thronging, they're running in contact with Jesus, and they're doing all different things because they want something. But yet, here we go, this little lady with an issue of blood. Now, I'm going to teach them about your expectations and your submission. This little lady with this issue of blood comes to the crowd now, she's 12 years. I mean, this woman been, pardon my crudeness, but she's been bleeding for 12 years. Well, if anybody's lost a lot of blood before, you know that you're weak. I don't have no time to be tussling in no crowd. I don't even have the energy to do it. I couldn't do it if I wanted to. Find yourself. I couldn't do it if I... Find yourself. I couldn't do it if I wanted to. Find yourself. So now she's got this issue of blood, and she knows she needs something, and she knows he got... Huh? She know he got what she need. But see, there's a difference. Let me hit you with this again. There's a difference between a throng and a touch. There's a difference between thronging Jesus, thronging the word of God, thronging God, and touching him. And see, I changed my voice for a reason. Because there's a difference. It's a lot of throng, it's a lot of pushing and a lot of scrambling. When people throng, I've been in a crowd where people are pushing and trying to get into somewhere and pushing. I don't know if some of y'all ever go to that Black Friday shopping and trying to get in them stores. It's ridiculous. And it's pushing. Why? Because it's me. No submission. I'm trying to get what I want. I want what I want when I want it, and that's a wrap. Jesus over there, I'm going to get him. Thronging, pushing people out the way, doing a whole bunch of stuff. You know, sometimes, and let's find ourselves this morning, sometimes we're thronging Jesus. Sometimes we're trying to throng the word of God instead of touching the word of God. So we pray in these shotgun tongues. And we're trying to read every scripture in the Bible, never expecting to receive anything. And we're thronging because we want something so bad. And we're just pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. But all the pushing that we're doing is not making any effort. It's not making any progress. We're thronging. Maybe it's a possibility that we could be thronging and think we're touching. What's the difference, Montreal? What's the difference between thronging and touching? Well, see, this woman, she didn't, the scripture says, it didn't say she walked up and Jesus laid hands on her and she was made whole. It don't say that, do it. Look at it. It don't say she walked and Jesus laid hands on her and she was made whole. It didn't say that. It didn't say she walked up to Jesus and grabbed him on his shoulder and she was made whole. Don't say that. It said she touched. She touched the hem. The hem of his garment is at the bottom. It's at the bottom. So there was a position that this woman had to assume. There was a posture that she had to put herself into. In order to receive. There's a certain way she had to set herself up. Now people thronging all over, but we don't hear about them in the scripture.
Right.
The only thing we heard about them is that they was pushing.
That's right. Oh yes, sir.
We don't hear no miracles about all them people.
Right. That's right.
And then the disciples didn't even know what was going on.
Right.
How you gonna say who touched you,
right.
Jesus?
Right. Right. Right.
All these people thronging you.
Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
But Jesus knew
right.
yep. that virtue had left out of him.
Yeah.
He says, listen to me. Wow, listen to me. And we're going to get back to the position. But Jesus, this woman got Jesus' attention. Listen to me. In the midst of the whole crowd, this woman did something that made Jesus stop in the middle of what he was doing and look for her. No. We know this story sometimes, so we don't see how deep it is. No, he stopped. He's already on his way to go heal somebody else. And they got thousands of people thronging him, and he stopped to look. He stopped in the middle of the motion. He stopped in the middle of the mission. He stopped in the middle of the program to look for her. It's something special that this woman did. It's a powerful thing that she did. She had to assume the position. Listen to me. She had to get down. I'm prone to believe. I don't care about this suit. I'm prone to believe that she might have had to get down and crawl through the crowd. I'm prone to believe that because see the garments, it wasn't like she, you know, we got these suits on, you know what I'm saying? So it bend over. This is how we are right now. We don't want to get down and get dirty. We don't want to crawl and submit ourselves. Everybody want to be on top. You cannot be on top till you realize where it's at the bottom. You got to go deeper to go higher. Listen to me. But we don't want to do that. In the age of technology and fast food and everything right at our hand, and we think we're doing this and that, and we think we're making stuff happen, we don't want to get down. Come on, sit down. We don't want to get down. So now you could be bumping into Jesus all day long but not receiving nothing. Now you could be in the crowd with him. In the crowd, like we a crowd of us right now, we could be in the crowd and don't receive nothing because we don't get down. Everybody say expectation.
Expectation.
Come on, say it again, expectation.
Expectation.
Come on, say it again, expectation.
Expectation.
So you didn't tell me I can be in the crowd where Jesus is standing and still don't get nothing from me? You mean I could be pushing with everybody else and I could bump shoulders with Jesus and still not? There's a position that must be assumed in order to receive, in order to get Jesus' attention, in order to receive those things that you so desperately need from Jesus. There's a position that you must assume, and it's called getting down. You know, we got these new prayers. We pray in a new way. You know, but in those old times, you didn't pray unless you got down. Right. Right. Hey, you standing up praying, what are you doing? That didn't exist. You had to get down. You had to get down and assume the position of reception. It's why we bow. We bow to a greater so we can be blessed of the better. But we have to assume the position. Now I'm talking to you from a real serious place, that we need to consider our ways and check out the condition of our function. Check out how we're doing things. Sometimes pride and ego can keep us from receiving everything that we're supposed to have. Because I'm going to walk in like this. You're not going to tell me what to do. There's no way. Naaman almost didn't get his healing. Because he was mad that they sent Gehazi out there. He was mad. I'm a politician. The prophet ought to come out and talk to me. I'm a king. I'm prestigious. You got leprosy too, though. You're sick. Let's keep it 100. You sick. You need something from me. So now if you come in to receive, so assume the position. Assume the submission so that you can receive something. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. It's a hard thing to do, to get down when all you've been taught to do is stand up. I understand. Listen, I understand how life is. I understand, you know, we done been through some things and we done been misused a little bit and got to have some pride about it. I understand. I get it. But we need to break down this, because those ways don't work in his way. See, the spiritual way ain't like, it is foolishness for a man to die to save somebody's life. It's foolishness for them to kill Jesus. It doesn't work the way that you think. You're doing all those things to get over that thing when you need to get down to get over. You need to submit to get over. When you submit and you get down, there's a special thing in the him. There's a special thing in the him. I've said this before, but the reason that was important to her, because when they came anointed David, they came to the prophet, came to anoint David, and they anointed him with all through the Old Testament. When they anointed with all, they were poured from the top. They would. I mean, it ain't like our anointing. You know how we. It ain't like ours. Your boy came ready to drench you. Your whole body about to be anointed with this oil. And so they pour the oil from the top. And it will come from the top down to the bottom. So now at that hem, they got a little residue. At that bottom, they got a little extra down there. They got a little overflow at that bottom. But you got to get down. Throng and touching. Which one you doing? Throng and touching. Which one you doing? Throng and Jesus touching. Which one you doing? Throng and Jesus touching. Well, what posture do you have? One of the main things about expectation, it's submission. It's yielding. I taught a message Wednesday night about expect the fresh leadership. Listen, when an apostle come out here and tells us something to do, it ain't a conversation. But you feeling some kind of way. And your ego jump up. See, let me tell you, can I teach you something about ego? Can I teach you something about ego? Oh, it's a real thing. All y'all, all us. The ego tries to counterfeit as the Holy Ghost. But yeah, the ego tries to counterfeit like he's telling you something that you should do. So the ego going to tell you, nah, don't get down and pray. Stand up. It looks more prestigious. Don't you get down in your suit. It's ego. Ego, and then I heard my dad say it one time, ego, E-G-O, edge God out. You edging right out of the equation because you want to do it like you're doing it. See, I can teach somebody life. We can do a lot of different things. We can pray a lot of different prayers. And we can jump over a lot of hurdles and through a lot of hoops. But you increase your progress, your deliverance, everything you believe for is going to come through submission. It's going to come through giving up. No, it's not coming through thronging and pressing. No, it comes through giving up. Well, how did Jesus die? He didn't die because they took it from him. He said, you couldn't take my life if you wanted to. He said, I give my life. Jesus submitted himself to what was going on for a higher cause. Everybody say submission.
Submission.
Come on, say it again. Submission.
Submission.
Come on, say it again. Submission.
Submission.
I got to get down. So in my life, I got a scripture said, no man ought to think more highly than he ought to think. Right? Romans 12, right? But think soberly, for God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think soberly. Don't think more high than you ought to think. I don't care what happens to you in your life. Keep getting down. Because that's where your anointing is. See, I'm going to tell you something about, can I tell you something about Apostle? See, the reason that God uses him the way that he uses him is because he knows he's got to get down. I could start rattling off his stats. 40 years of ministry, no scandals, ain't never had no troubles, right? Everything paid for. I could start rattling it off and all this massive amount of ministry that God has endowed him with and put on his life, and he'll always attest to the same thing. I just trust God. I just submit. Listen, as anointed as he can come out here, listen to me. I know this to be true. I've seen this with my own eyes. I've seen him come to church, and the power of God hit the room. Boom! And we're in a whole nother place. And he come out, and I see him lay hands on half the church. I'm talking about the power of God. And lay hands on half the church. People getting healed, people getting delivered. Last year, I saw that camp meeting with all them different miracles. We saw some this year. And then you know what's going on the next morning or the next moment after that service? He stays down. Stay down. You stay down, you'll always be up. But you got to stay down. But it don't make sense. That don't make sense because you want to stand up so bad. But you've been standing up already. You've been standing up on your own 2 feet already, and where that got you. How that's working out for you. Get down. You got to get down. You got to submit yourself to be able to receive. You got to get down and doggone near crawl in order to catch that hem of that garment. Submission. Everybody say submission.
Submission.
Come on, say it again. Submission.
Submission.
Come on, say it again. Submission.
Submission.
Even Jesus was submitted.
Yes,
Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me
to
do. He says, as I hear it, I judge. I don't make decisions till I've been given instructions. You know, we love these scriptures, Isaiah 119. Come on, somebody quote it. I know you know it. If you be willing and now both of those have a connotation of reception and expectation. Both of those have a connotation of nothing to do with you, everything that you're receiving. Okay, obedient. All right. Stand up. All right, sit down for me. All right, but if I didn't say nothing and you just stand up and sit down like that, and that's not obedience, you're just doing something. You just stand up and sit down. Well, that's not obedience, he's just doing something. If you just, with no instruction, you just stand up and sit down, you're just doing something. It's not obedience. But if I say stand up, he stands up. That's the obedience, watch this, obedience gives a connotation of instruction, of reception, of somebody else giving you something to do. Well, even willingness. Everybody say willing.
Willing.
Even willingness means I'm open and I'm prepared and I'm ready and willing to do whatever it is that's expected of me. So if you be willing and obedient, what's going to happen? Well, everybody out here trying to eat the good of the land. We out here all day, every day, trying to eat the good of the land. Y'all gonna try to eat the good of the land right after service today. Just eat the good of the land. Everybody wants to eat the good of the land. We love that scripture, but they have to be willing and obedient. Oh, we got a lot of crazy ways we got to give up. Amen. We got a lot of stuff that I'm saying we, because I'm included. We got a lot of things that we didn't plan that we got to give up. Huh? We got a lot of things that we've been trying to figure out that ain't been figuring out. And we got to get down. Everybody say get down. Look at your neighbor and tell him get down. I ain't talking about get down and start dancing. No, I'm talking about you got to get down. You got to get low. You got to submit yourself. And when you submit yourself, you put yourself in a position to touch the hem and receive something of him. Now, it didn't say, woman, you're healed, but it said you're made whole.
Right.
See, there's a difference.
Yep.
You remember them 10 lepers?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see, all of them, he healed all of them.
Right.
But only one came back to say thank you, right. And he was made whole. I don't know if you know anything about leprosy, but your fingers and all that kind of stuff, your skin be gone, all everything gone. But when he said made whole, that means everything must have came back.
Yep.
So I can imagine this lady having some other, you know, the blood is the life source. It's the physical issue. It should flow. You got to flow to all your organs, to your brain, to your heart, everything. Like the blood got to flow through it all. So I can imagine her bleeding like that for all them years, that maybe some of her other organs were having problems. Maybe she was having issues in other parts of her body. I can imagine that other things are breaking down because it wasn't getting enough blood. But daughter, thy faith has made thee. Oh, now, the faith didn't come walking in like this. I got faith. Look at my faith. No, it didn't come in like that.
That's right. Right, right, right. That's right.
Faith got down. And I wish I could make y'all crawl with me. Faith got down. And faith said, I'm down here. Because I know that I can't receive nothing until I get under. I know I can't receive, you know, Mary and Martha. I can show you this all day long. Mary and Martha. She sat at Jesus' feet. Sat at his feet. She didn't sit next to him. Hey, Jesus, how you doing today? No, she submitted. She submitted. She submitted. She sat at his feet. Then he said, that thing that she got ain't going to be taken away from her. Now, this is, I can't take you to every scripture in the Bible that's talking about submission. But this is for you to go and try to find out how you can submit better. Your study times, here's a good question. Am I in a submitted position right now? Here's a good question for yourself. On a day-by-day basis, am I submitted right now? Or am I doing my thing? Is this a submitted moment? Or am I doing my thing? What measure you meet is measured unto you. Now remember that. Am I submitted right now? Or am I doing my thing? Am I under? Or am I trying to get over on my own? Get down. Get down. Get down. Don't be afraid to crawl. I heard this earlier, and I didn't say it, but you know, pride come right for the what?
Fall.
It come right for the what?
Fall.
Now we use that, be like, you don't be prideful because you're going to get knocked down. Well, no, really what it's saying is pride come right before the fall because you really need to fall to get over that pride. Now, there's an old statement, and he say you're going to get down or you're going to lay down. You ever heard that before? How many of you ever heard that statement before? Either you're going to get down or you're going to lay down. Now, what that really mean is, either, if I walk in and say, now listen, this is how it's going to go. Either you're going to get down or you're going to lay down. What I'm saying to you is either you're going to make a conscious choice and go ahead and kneel on down on your own, and I ain't got to swing at nobody. Or ain't no bullets got to fly. But either way, you're going to get down. No, it's a true thing. Some of us have been knocked off our horse before. Some have been thought we was on and got knocked down. Because either you're going to get down or you're going to lay down. The key is being down. Now, I'm the type of person, don't shoot me. If somebody walk in the room, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. But if I ever hear somebody running around loud and say, you either get down or you go, I'm down. I'm down. We don't have to talk about it. I'm down. I ain't playing no games. So the same functioning is what you ought to have when approaching Jesus, when approaching leadership, when approaching God on any terms. Get down. Stop trying to walk up into the presence of God and go ahead and crawl up in there. The reason this song, and it says, we were singing at the U Conference, it says, all the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O God. And it keeps saying that. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, O God. And we just say it over and over. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you. Because all the glory belongs to God. See, the reason that you got to get down, because he has to get the glory. Not that he has to get the glory, but he deserves the glory. And you don't deserve any glory. We don't deserve any glory. I said it before, name something you did to get here. I'll wait. I made a statement and the same thing you did to get here, the same thing you're going to do to live here. I'm talking about like birth, like when you was born. What did you do to get here? Huh? Come on. Who said I prayed my way here? I used to tell my mama that. My mama say, you know, we ain't really playing for you to, with Leroy Jr. and Shauna, we got them, but you was a surprise. I say, what surprise? I used to tell my mama, I was going to get here. I was going to find a way to get here. But truth of the matter is, ain't nothing you did. Ain't nothing you did. Ain't nothing you doing, like you're breathing right now, but ain't nothing. You're not making no oxygen. I don't understand why we think we got some control. We don't. Just get down. Hey! Get down. Oh, I'm going to say this, I'm done. When you give up your control, you can have all control. Do y'all hear that? When you give up your control, you can have all control. Remember, he's sovereign. He's in control of it all. You give up your control, and then he takes control. It's God was working in you, both the will and do of his good pleasure. Amen. Stand on your feet.